Well, we're looking at church doctrine again today. We've been looking at church doctrine throughout the holidays this year. And today we get to our third sermon from Ephesians 4 on the church. We've seen the church and her unity. And then last week, Brian brought us the church and her diversity. And then this week, we're looking at the church and her holiness. We're looking at Ephesians 4, and it would be good to have your Bibles open to chapter 4. And you can see the outline in your bulletin, which can help you see where we're going today. Although I think the outline in the bulletin may have a few blanks in it that you might need to fill in. I don't normally do this, but I didn't want to give anything away, okay? So you'll have to listen hard, and you can fill in the gaps as we go. Now, it seems to me more and more people are changing their careers more often than has been in past times. Some of our North American friends still have their 50 years of service in certain organisations. But in Australia, I think life is quite different, isn't it? I think my life has been filled with all sorts of jobs. I've been a printer, I've been a ski technician, I've been a barista, a missionary, and now I'm your pastor. How does that happen? Now, many of you have done a variety of things in your working career, and for those who are about to enter their working career, it seems like you're faced with endless possibilities. And I imagine that's hard enough to know what you want to do with the next 10 years of your life, let alone for the rest of your life. And you might be thinking, well, maybe I should pray about the direction in my life. Maybe I should pray and ask God to make it clear what he wants me to do. You maybe want to ask the question, well, what's God's purpose for my life? And I think at any age we can ask that question, can't we? What's God's purpose for your life? And I think the answer is always going to be the same. See, God's purpose for your life is that you are a godly man or a godly woman. Holiness is the goal for every follower of Jesus. Holiness. Now, whether you decide to be a welder, an electrician, a plumber, a printer, a teacher, an architect or an engineer, any of those things are fine things to do, and there are plenty more careers that you can think of. But God's purpose for your life remains the same. Holiness is the goal for each one of us. Now you might think to yourself, well, that's fine, John, that's easy for you to say, but how can I be holy? I try, but I keep failing. I want to be holy, but it just feels too hard. It feels like there's always something to work on. And I think in our passage today helps us to know how we can be holy. In fact, I'd say that for many of you, that by the time you leave here today, you'll have a good idea on what you need to do to be holy. Now, of course, the first step towards a holy life begins with a relationship with Jesus. It has to start there, doesn't it? Our holiness starts as we submit to having Jesus as Lord of our life. And we need to talk about this first, because the rest of what I've got to say is a result of being a follower of Jesus. This is what Paul himself says to the church in Ephesus. He says to them in verses 20 and 21. He says, "But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus." See, Paul is telling them that they can be holy, but their holiness starts in submission to Jesus. Now, I mention this all the time because this is an important step of being part of this church. See, we believe that Jesus died and rose again to life, and he did so that we can all be in a relationship with him. When we trust that Jesus is our King and that he saved us, he takes us into his family. Now, for many of you, this has been a reality for a long time. Like me, you heard about Jesus' death and resurrection, and you realised Jesus gave his life for you. And when you came to realise that, you entrusted your life to Jesus, and you gave up living for yourself, and you started to live for Jesus. Now, for others who are here, maybe you're not in a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're trying to figure out your place here in this church. Maybe you come along and you enjoy the people that are here. You enjoy your time with us, and we're really glad you're here. But you need to know that being part of this community without trusting Jesus is good for now, but in the long term, as you think about eternal life, our ultimate desire is that you not only belong to the community here, but that you belong to Jesus. And that's why I keep saying over and over again, turn to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Turn to Jesus for your eternal well-being. He gave up his life so that you might have eternal life. Now, if you think that this is your case and you want to speak to someone about it, I'm more than happy to speak to you about it, or speak to the person you know in church today. And we want you to know who Jesus is, and we want you to follow him, because that is the most important step towards a life of holiness. In fact, we would say that when you come to know Jesus, Jesus gives you his holiness, and God sees you as perfect like he sees his son Jesus, who is perfect. See, when we trust in Jesus, we're given his holiness and we're made perfect through the blood of Jesus. And this needs a little explanation, because when we trust in Jesus, we're made holy before God. He sees us as perfect, and nothing can take us away from that. But then on the other hand, we live in this world where we're sinful and we do wrong things, and there's a need to be holy as a result. So there's almost like two sets of holiness. The holiness we receive when we come to know Jesus, we'll always have that holiness. No one can ever take that away from you. Yet as holy people before God, we want to be pleasing in his sight. And I think that's where the rest of our passage goes. And that's what, the second part of holiness is, how to be holy in this life. And this is where we start to look at the passage and see how we can live holy lives for God. Now, this passage starts in verses 17 to 19 with a warning, saying to those in Ephesus not to live as they used to. Paul says to them in verse 17 that they must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. In other words, don't continue to live as though you don't know Jesus if you already know Jesus. That's what he means when he says to them, don't live as the Gentiles do. Now, these people would have probably been Gentiles. But here, Paul talks to them as being Gentiles from their life before. He talks to them like they're the new Israel. They're new people, no longer Gentiles. So he says to them, stop living like the Gentiles that you used to be. Stop living the way you used to live. The people in the church at Ephesus would have come to know Jesus, just like we talked about, and this gave them a new identity. And then in verse 17, Paul is saying, well, stop living the way you used to live. And then he goes on in 18 and tells them how futile this thinking is. Repeated ignorance of God leads to hard-heartedness. And you can see this as you look at verses 18 to 19. It says there, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because their ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, and they have given themselves over to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. See, for anyone who has come to know Jesus, life needs to change. We need to make a U-turn. It's a bit like the clothes we wear, which I think Fiona did a great job up here. We wear the right clothes for the right event, don't we? If we're going to the beach, we put on beach gear. If we're going to a footy game, we put on the right colours. I won't go down that track. If we're going to work, there's the right clothes for that. And if we're going to a wedding, there's appropriate clothing for that too. What we wear is important for what we do. And as followers of Jesus, people who belong to the Lord Jesus, what we put on is holiness. We need to put on what is fitting for who he's already made us to be. And this is what we see as we look at the rest of the passage that we're looking at today. It tells us that we need to put off and put on. In fact, as we look at holiness, I want you to see that it, I don't think it is complicated. We shouldn't be concerned about how much we fail, but be concerned with working hard to put off and put on, so we reflect more and more the holiness of our great God. And as we look at the rest of the passage, we get a whole host of things that we can put off and put on. So this is where you can start filling in your sheets if you're filling them in. Now, the first thing we see is that we're to put off our old self and put on the new self. Now, this continues from verse 20 and goes through to verse 24. It says there that but that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off your old self. Put on the new self. The old self is the way we used to live before knowing Jesus, and the new self is the new life we've been born into. We've been born into a life of holiness, of living for Jesus. And this means we put off our old ways of living. Now, I think this first point is very general. Put off the old, put on the new. But the rest of the passage, I think, comes into more specifics of what we can put off and what we can put on. It's about being renewed or being made young again, living a life to please Jesus. So what else do we see? Well, the next thing we see is that we are to put off falsehood and put on truth. And we see that in verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Now, this passage is directed at the church, at those who have given their lives over to Jesus. And that's why it says we are members one of another. And if we're in the habit of practicing falsehood and lies, then we are literally breaking the bonds of fellowship. See, Jesus' death has brought us together in such a way that we are unified even with our diversity. We saw this in the first two sermons of this chapter. And putting off what was part of our old life is important as it helps us maintain the unity and the diversity that we celebrate. See, a church that practices falsehood and lies will destroy the fellowship they have with one another. This isn't just at the church, is it? Now, when you think about lies, they disturb every community they are a part of. School, work, and home. They're all impacted by lies. And that's why lying needs to be replaced with truth-telling. Truth. And the quick question for us is, are you putting on the truth with those around you? Now, you might say you're not lying. But evidence of not lying is seen as you're speaking the truth, as you're confiding those around you, as you share about your struggles and pains, as you reveal your sin to those around you. We have put on something different, and we need to put off the lies, put off falsehood, stop saying that everything is fine, and start to speak the truth. See, lying doesn't stop with putting off. Lying, the lying self is removed as we put on truth. Are you speaking the truth? Well, the next thing we see is to put off anger with sin and put on anger without sin. We see that in verses 26 and 27. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, from this we understand that some anger is okay. An anger that leads to justice is good. But an anger that leads us to sin is not okay. Now, a great picture of this is road rage, isn't it? Sinful actions caused by anger. And we're to put off all types of anger that lead to sin. And as you see, it's quickly followed by saying, don't go to bed without resolving the anger you may have. In other words, go to the person you're upset with. Speak to whoever you need to get rid of that anger, to sort it out. Because as anger festers, it gets out of control, doesn't it? And it's at that point we give the devil an opportunity to lead us into sin. So deal with your anger. Make sure that you put off anger that leads to sin and put on an attitude that deals with anger without it leading to sin. Next, we get to put off stealing and put on an honest day's work. Look at verse 28. It says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labour, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Now, we keep seeing this same pattern through all of these things, don't we? We're told not to steal, and you can tell that people have stopped stealing by the evidence that you're not a thief anymore. Well, sorry, and the evidence that you're not a thief anymore is made clear to you by your generosity, isn't it? It's made clear as you get a job, as you work hard, as you receive wages and then share what you have with those around you. That's evidence that you're no longer a thief. It's easy to put off stealing, but what we put on to show that we are not stealing is hard work and being generous with those around us. Is that a picture of your life? Are you giving an honest day's work and being generous with what you have? Because that's what we put on. The next thing we see is that we should put off tearing down and put on building up. Look at verse 29. It says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Now, this isn't necessarily about bad language, but about language that tears another person down. And we love doing this in Australia, don't we? We love to tear down. But the Bible says, build up. To show grace. To authentically love another person. Don't say things because it's the right thing to say. But put on a new heart so that you can say things like this with me. You know, for those who service morning tea after church, you do a great job. Thank you. For those who play music for us, thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. For those who welcome us and help make us feel comfortable as we come into church, well, thanks for caring for us. See, that's the language we put on. Put off criticism and put on a graceful, thankful attitude. And the next thing we see is to put off grieving the Holy Spirit and put on a life pleasing to the Spirit. Now we see this in verse 30. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." Now this is about grieving the Holy Spirit. But we need to be clear about how it's grieving the Holy Spirit. See, because it's about us causing grief to the Holy Spirit. It's not about us not having the Holy Spirit. It's about us doing things that are not pleasing to the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit grieving because you haven't lived up to who Jesus has made you to be. See, if we were to ignore all that we read in the Bible, and if we were to ignore the teaching we receive through the Bible, and if we kept living as if we had not understood the Word of God, then this would grieve the Holy Spirit. And we're told, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But as followers of Jesus, we've been given His goodness, and the Holy Spirit helps us to choose the right course in life. And as we read the Bible and we pray, we have at our disposal a way to live according to who Jesus has made us to be. So listening to God's Word and responding and acting on that will please the Holy Spirit. So put off grieving the Holy Spirit and put on a pleasing life to the Spirit. Now we're almost at the end of what to put off and put on. This is the last one, so you can tell now if you've missed one. We're to put off bitterness and put on kindness. Verse 31 and 32, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Now, this is almost a summary of what the Gentiles needed to put off and put on. So many people living in this world have bitterness in their lives. I hear stories all the time that involve anger, bitterness, rage, and a desire to get back at someone. But imagine if all that was gone. Imagine if we weren't bitter or angry or slanderous or desired to maliciously think of someone. Imagine if they were never seen in us again. Well, it needs to be replaced with something, doesn't it? And Paul says to the Gentiles, get rid of them. Get rid of those things, bitterness, anger, slander, malice, and put on kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. Imagine the difference it would create in our lives if we did the same. So what we see here in this passage is a long list of how we can live up to who God has made us to be. The goal for each one of us is to be imitators of God. See, we see this in Ephesians 5 verse 1, where it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, all the things that we put off and put on are to help us be imitators of God. It means that we walk like Jesus walked. And this is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Always learning what he would do. Always putting off and putting on so that every day we look more and more like Jesus. Now, part of our vision here at church tells us to do exactly that. To grow disciples. And we grow together. We never stop growing. And we always help those around us grow. Putting off your old life and putting on the new life so that we can be imitators of God. And what this all points to is a renewal of our mind, doesn't it? And we do all these things for Jesus' sake. There should be our desire to put off and put on because this pleases Jesus. That's the main motivation for all of these things, isn't it? When we talk about holiness, Jesus has done everything already. And if you trust in Jesus for your eternal well-being, then you are safe for eternity. God looks at you and sees the perfection of Jesus in your life. He sees Jesus' goodness on you. Now, we've already been made perfect for when we see Jesus face to face. And because he has made us perfect before our Heavenly Father, there is no shame in putting off what was part of our old life and taking up who Jesus has made us to be holy. To imitate Jesus. So we put off and put on to be more like him now. Walk the way Jesus wants us to walk. It's almost like we're in preparation for when we get to live with God forever. God is a holy God. Nothing unholy can get close to him. And that's why we see time and again in the Old Testament that people have to turn their face away from God because of his holiness. But Jesus has given us his holiness so that we can be with God forever. And now is the time to reflect the holiness of God. Reflect his holiness because his holiness is attractive. It helps others to see who Jesus really is. We read that in the Heidelberg Confession as we started the service. When people are genuinely kind and patient and loving, when people reflect the holiness that Jesus has already given them, it's very attractive, and we want to be people like that. So when was the last time you forgave someone who wronged you? And when was the last time you were bitter and angry and decided to hold it in? When was the last time you learned what Jesus did for you and then imitated him? See, I think they're some of the goals of holiness, aren't they? To put off what we used to be, and to put on who Jesus has made us to be. He gave his life so that you would be made perfect before his Father in heaven. And now it's our turn to respond and put on holiness. To live up to who he's made us to be. Now there's a lot of different things in this passage today. 7 things in total. And my suggestion for you today is to think about one thing you can put off and one thing you can put on. Maybe have another read of Ephesians 4:17 to 5:2 and think about what you might put off and what you might put on for Jesus. And then as you get dressed this week, as you're deciding what to wear, well, why not pray and ask God to help you to put off and put on whatever it is you've chosen for this week? Well, let's pray. Now, Father God, we are thankful that you have made us holy through your Son, Jesus. We ask that you give us what we need to put off our old self and put on who you have made us to be. Give us patience and grace with ourselves. Give us a desire to do this so that those around us will have the opportunity to see our holiness and want to know you. And we ask all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.